तं स च नोरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्. सो वी आर् डिस्कसिङ्ग् दि भक्तियोग 12th चाप्टर् आफ् दि भगवद्गीता. सो सर्टन् क्वालिटीस् आटोमेटिकलि शुड् डेवलप् if we are really practicing spiritual disciplines. Why are these qualities necessary? To make the mind absolutely quiet. That is the only purpose. As what is the obstruction between us and God? I. That I identifies now with body and mind. So that is why Vedanta tells us Aham is absolutely pure. See the point? Aham is pure. Kara is the trouble. Kara. Chili. That is the problem. That's why you see, what is the difference between us and a realized soul? We say, अहं देहः, ऐ एम् दि बाडी, अहं मनः. रियलैज्ड् सोल् वाट् डस् ही से? अहं ब्रह्मास्मि. बट् अहं केनाट् गो बिकास् अहम् इस् दि एस्सेन्स् आफ् वन्स् ऐडेण्टिटि. सो देर् इस् नो डेत्. वेन् देर् इस् नो डेत् देर् मस्ट् बि एन् ऐडेण्टिटि. वाट् इस् दट् ऐडेण्टिटि? अहम्. But with what it identifies itself, that's what makes it either troublesome or joyousome. You know, bondage and liberation. What is bondage? To think that I am bound. I am bound. I am bound. I am free. I am free. I am will not go. What you feel. Not saying what you feel. You can say aham brahmasmi and feel very much bound. You can say aham manushaha and feel very much free. It all depends upon how we feel. It is not the words, it is the idea that makes it. So all these spiritual practices, japa tapa, they are like the rubbing stones. You know, it is the classic example given is this sandalwood is covered with dirt. So what do? Bring a stone or you make sandal paste. How do you make? As you go on rubbing, you know, when you buy a new sandalwood, what happens? You have to rub for a long time until the outer crust is gone and then it becomes smooth. Then as you rub, the real fragrance starts coming. So all this japa tapa is like a rubbing stone. But if we are rubbing one stone with another stone, then there is no use. It must be to rub our impurities off our mind. So japa by itself, meditation by itself, unless it transforms our character, is absolutely no good. This is a point which many people, many of us forget. We do japa. One side we do japa, another side we are going and doing all sorts of rubbish things. That is why we remain miserable. Whom do we deceive? Nobody. Though these qualities are meant so that this kara will disappear and aham remains. The wonderful thing is, when you don't need to do to say I am Brahmas, I am Brahman. Simply get rid of the impurities, remove the curtain, automatically the light will come, the air will come. So yesterday we discussed some qualities. Here is something more, very beautiful. Yasmano dvijate loko, lokano dvijate chayaha. हर्षामर्षभयोद्वेगैः मुक्तो यः स च मे प्रियः. ही by whom the world is not agitated, and who cannot be agitated by the world, who is freed from joy, envy, fear and anxiety, he is dear to me. Beautiful verse. From whom the world is not agitated. Just sit and think over. You are the world, you are person. From whom does fear come to you? If a tiger comes, then you fear. If a wicked man comes, you fear. If anybody whom you suspect that is a person or an animal, it is likely to harm you, from that person only your mind gets agitated. But suppose your mother is running towards you, will you get agitated? On the other hand, you get very you feel very happy. Why? Why do you feel so happy when mother comes to you? What is the reason? There is a reason. We call it love. It's, love is only, you know, the word by which our mind understands something. What is that? Mother means, for the first thing, mother means safety. My mother will never harm me. On the other hand, she would protect me. The second is, mother always does good. She brings food, and then she brings joy, she brings peace. She will not only remove all the negative things, she would bring all positive things. All the positive things are represented by the word mother. So if a spiritual practitioner, if he creates hesitation in other people's minds, that means there is something wrong. There was a very beautiful incident. There was a Sufi woman saint called Rabia, and she was well known for her saintliness. So one day she was walking in a forest, and there was another man who also was known to be a holy man, but not as famous as Rabia. Well, he was following her. As they were walking in the forest, a lot of birds were fighting with each other to sit on the shoulders of Rabia. You know, they were jostling each other. I want to sit there, I want to sit there. I don't know whether Tirthankar has read Sharadchandra's novels.
Yes, Maharaj.
All the novels?
Most of them.
You know, I don't remember the title. There was one family, the mother had several children, but whenever her aunt comes, the children fight with each other. Who will be the first to next to sleep with her? Manipadche?
Yeah.
And the mother became jealous. They are not fighting to come and to sleep with me. And then somehow they send them far away, uncle and aunt. But from that time onward, the children started becoming very lean and thin. They won't eat properly. They are not happy. Then the mother realizes that if she wants to save the children, the only way is to, she goes, apologizes to her aunt and brings them. She realizes in the end, it is the overwhelming love the aunt has for the children. And that is why they are jostling. If the mother could give that, why would they want to go there? That was the essence of the beautiful novel story, if you remember it.
What is that name of the novel?
That's, I do not recall. It is written by Sharadchandra Chatterjee in Bengali. Oh, what a fantastic, he could weave stories as though you are living in that atmosphere. Anyway, the point was, these birds were jostling. So the other saint was following her. He was telling birds, you are going near the birds, hoping that they will come and sit on his shoulders also. But as he approaches, they were running away. He got very upset that I am also a holy man, and I do not have any intention of harming these birds. And why are they not coming to me? So he asked, Rabia, why is it all the birds are coming to you and not to me? And she turns and says, that was because when you were younger, you ate, you relished bird's meat, and that taste hasn't left your heart. Though you stopped killing birds, that taste has not left. You know, this vasana. There was a horrible incident in the life of Saint Francis. It was completely ununderstandable by me or by many people even today. Saint Francis of Assisi, known for his love of the animals, birds, plants, he was lying on deathbed. Suddenly he said, I think to Brother Leo or somebody, I feel a longing to eat roasted pork. Pork, you know? Immediately this fellow went. There was one pig moving about, caught hold of it, cut off its leg and ran back, roasted it and gave it to Saint Francis. That was a kind of bizarre incident. Anyway, what is our story is that these birds, they never felt the least bit of fear in the presence of Rabia. Because somehow instinctively they understand that this is like our mother. She would rather protect rather than harm us. So it is also significant because we may not know our unconscious. We may not have that feeling of hurting others at some point. But until the vasana is destroyed, there is some kind of unconscious. Animals communicate with our unconscious. Do you know that? All the animals. One explanation is not that they are yogis. See, our body exudes chemicals. When we are fearful, some kind of chemical smell. They are the dogs and
endorphins.
Is it?
Endorphins.
Yes.
Everybody has that pheromones.
Yeah. So the animals are able to smell them. It is not that they are yogis. So children also, and any strangers, they get afraid. Some strangers, they don't feel hesitant. So it's from whom the world doesn't in the least feel hesitated. So hesitation comes only for one reason. Hesitation means fear. Fear means what? That this person is going to take away something from us, harm us in some way, reduce ourselves in some way, that is called fear. But somehow if a person has become so pure, then nobody will fear. So we have, in Hindu mythology, there is a character called Narada. You know, many people misunderstand his character. He was Kalaha Priya, Kalaha Bhojana and all, but he was one of the Nitya Siddhas. His only purpose in life is how to take people to God, and especially devotees of God who are progressing but who have a lot of defects. He wants to remove their defects. So he will, but unfortunately he creates quarrels to serve his purpose. That was his speciality. But Thakur praised Narada as an eternal Nitya Mukta, go on singing the names of God. And he is called Chiranjeevi. Even now he is alive. There is one great musician in South India called Tyagaraja. At some point he needed to study an ancient musical scripture which was supposed to have been but lost. So he prayed to Narada. Because Narada was supposed to be a master musician. So Narada, it is said, appeared before him, said, here is the book. If you study this, you will discover all those ragas and other things you are longing to learn. And lest we may interpret the vision as, you know, imagination, the book he left was there. So Tyagaraja studied the book, and that's why he had rare compositions with rare ragas. We have to discover a lot of our own heritage.
Divine ragas only, Maharaj.
Yeah. So anyway, the point is asmano dvijate lokaha, and then lokano dvijate cheha, and he who doesn't fear also, a spiritual practitioner also has no fear from anybody or anything. Why has he no fear? For two reasons. One reason is he is totally dependent upon God. God is protecting him, looking after him. What is their fear? This beautiful idea has been illustrated by Thakur by the story of Dada Madhusudana. Remember Dada Madhusudana? There was one Thakur stories you must read. There is a book called Parables of Sri Ramakrishna. And if you read that one, you will get all his stories. And it is easy to read. You cannot stop reading. There was a young boy. He was the only son of a widow. Every day he had to cross a forest to go to this teacher's house. He was afraid of the forest. Remember now? No. Anyway, so he told his mother, I am afraid, I don't want to go to school. His mother was a great devotee of Krishna. She said, my son, there is nothing for you to be afraid. Your brother, elder brother Madhusudana, is grazing the cows in the forest. He is there. So whenever you feel frightened, you simply call your brother. He will come and he will protect you. Such a beautiful story. Then you see, next day the boy set off, and as soon as he entered the forest, he felt frightened and he started saying, Dada, Madhusudana, where are you? No response. Then he started crying, Mother told me, you are here. Why are you not coming? I am frightened. No, that innocent prayer. Immediately another elderly boy appears. Say, bhai, why are you afraid? Come on. You know, he was such a fun. So, telling stories, playing with him, now and then plucking fruits. This is called mashala. He's not there in the story. That is the beauty of stories, you know. So, in no time, he reached the end of the forest. And his brother told, you go, there is your teacher's house. And joy, it was such a joy. This fellow was, you know, lonely fellow. Nobody to play. But now he has got somebody. He was transported with joy. So many days passed. And one day, it was what is called a festival will be there, Samaradhana, the teacher's house. In those days, they never used to charge any fees. But on that day, his students were supposed to bring whatever they could as gifts to the teacher. Because the teacher had to feed the students, you know. Students go, tiffin carriers were not in vogue at that time, you see. Or Calcutta is even better, Calcutta, Bombay. Meals, home meals supplied to the office.
Yes.
Know that?
Yes.
You don't know that? Calcutta?
Yes.
There are tiffin carriers are there.
No, we carry our own food, that's what you mean.
Yeah, not to purchased food. These fellows will go to the houses of these fellows, and their wives will be keep the tiffin carrier ready at about 11 o'clock or so. Hot meals, and these collect, you know, 10, 15.
We did not know that
one.
Yes, and then to the rest. Yeah. And
they
then
will come and collect, and you have to pay a fee for the boy.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yes. It's a wonderful service. Hot food.
Yeah.
They will take. No, they don't want to take this morning's old food.
Oh.
New food, fresh food. You know, macher jol, matar mund, macher mundo. Anything, you name it. So they will prepare, you know, food roster and give it for this week. This is the food you have to prepare to their wives. And you see, so
there will be somebody like us to coordinate.
Not coordinate. What he means is, coordinate means what? You cook and sent through you. That is what he means really. It's a compliment for you. So this boy was poor. So what to give? So he asked his brother, because his mother had nothing. Then his mother says, and you ask your brother, my son, I don't have anything. Because he asked, then he gave a pot of curds. And the teacher was highly displeased. Everybody was bringing much better things. You only brought one small pot of curds. Anyway, he could not reject him. With annoyance, he took it. There was a bigger pot into which he was emptying. As he emptied, the pot filled up again. Again he emptied, again it filled. Akshaya Patra.
Wow.
Then the teacher said, this is something, who gave this to you? Innocent boy, he said, he told the story, my brother lives in the forest, he gave me. And can you show me your brother? Because he who could give this Akshaya Patra cannot be an ordinary person. So is it true your brother lives there? Boy said, yes. So can you show him to me? Yes. And they went into the forest. Then the boy cried out, Dada Madhusudana, my teacher doubts me. Please come and tell him that you have given me this one. But no response. Then the boy started crying, my teacher will suspect I have done something wrong. Then a voice comes, my brother, you have pure innocent faith. That's why I appeared before you. Your teacher is very impure. He will not see me. But he will know by this voice that I am there. The teacher also heard the words. But he didn't appear before the teacher. Just to confirm that somebody, the Divine Lord, has given it. So this was the story about faith, innocent faith, told by Thakur to his devotees. So at that time, M was staying in Dakshineswar for several days, 3 weeks or something, or a month. So early morning, Thakur was going towards the Panchavati and he stood there. Then he heard somebody singing this song, Dada Madhusudana, where are you? Because the story impressed the devotee so much. One devotee was crying. Hearing his cry, Thakur's own eyes became wet. And M happened to notice that. And he was describing, these tears were, eyes were filled with tears. Sri Ramakrishna's eyes. Anyway, the story is that a devotee believes that God protects him and therefore he has nothing to fear. The other reason is that a devotee has nothing to lose. He doesn't say anything is mine. So this is the problem with us, We have, first of all, many things. A devotee will tries to simplify his life. Secondly, no devotee, real devotee, considers any possessions as his possessions. So, if somebody takes your neighbor's possession, will you feel bad? Yeah. You never feel bad. Sometimes if you have coveted that one and you don't have any means of getting that one, if a thief steals that, not only you are not unhappy, you are in an ecstatic state. Human nature, I don't mind, but I will very much mind if anybody else has it. Yeah, how much they do magic, black magic and mantra, tantra. Suppose two families are there and both of them have daughters. And one family got very good son-in-law. And the other family, they are not getting any son-in-law to them. You know how these eyes burn with jealousy. Human nature. This is called Maya. We are not to be blamed. It is all, Kapan Jagannataka Sutradhari. He is telling, you be jealous.
But does it affect Mahabharata? Suppose somebody is jealous against a person.
No, it doesn't affect us. But it may affect in the sense, you know, he may try to do something. Yeah, these things happen, you know, in royal families. Suppose there are two wives, one wife had given birth and the other wife is not giving birth. Naturally, she wants her own children to, son to ascend to the throne. Yes, cases were known when they made, they gave poison to these children and then killed them off. Many stories are there like that. Your story of Ramayana itself is a wonderful instance. Kaikeyi, no, she didn't want Rama to ascend. Whatever spiritual symbolism you may attach to it, but as a story, she was not happy that Kausalya's son should ascend the throne. That was the thing. Anyway, so a devotee doesn't fear because he has very little possessions, he has no sense of I-ness, my-ness, but, and he knows God is protecting me. Whatever God wants to give me, whenever I need something, he will look after me. So that is why he has no fear. Because when the divine treasure is there in front of you, then who minds if something is gone or taken away? Nobody minds. So such a devotee, what happens? Harsha amarsha bhayot bhaya udvegaihi muktaha. That he is free from joy. There is no envy because a devotee also firmly believes that if someone else has better things than us, then who gave those better things?
God.
It is God who gives the better things. Or it is the law of karma. So he doesn't become envious. There is no fear at all because God protects one. And there is no anxiety. Anxiety always comes for the future. Nobody becomes anxious for the past. Nobody becomes anxious also for what is happening in the present. Only we become anxious, whether this will happen, whether I will reach the airport at proper time, it may leave without me, and all those things. Anapekshah shuchirdakshah udasino gatavyatha sarva arambha parityagi yoma bhaktah samepriya. So he is telling at the end, sachamepriyaha, this bhakta is dearer to my heart. That means he is progressing towards the Lord, coming nearer and nearer to the Lord. Anapekshah shuchirdakshah udasino gatavyatha sarvarambha parityagi yomadbhakta same priyaha. Anapekshaha means he who is free from dependency. Dependency means here dependency on the world, not dependency, free from dependency from God. Dependency upon anything that is external. He is totally dependent upon God. Then who is pure, shuchihi? Pure means in his mind, no bad thought ever crosses. Now again, this is also interesting for us. We have bad thoughts. We have thoughts, bad thoughts are always indicative that we have a desire. If we don't have desire, where is the question of good or bad thoughts or impure thoughts? If we have something, then we don't have any impure thoughts. So a devotee, he gets all his fulfillment in God, and therefore he has no impure thoughts at all. Dakshaha, he is very skillful. Daksha means capable. Why is his capability comes from whom? From God. You see, this is our idea. Whenever we undertake any task, we do two things. Either we pray to Ganesha or we pray to Mother Saraswati. Because the buddhi, what to do, what not to do, that is given by the Divine Mother, Saraswati or Lakshmi or whatever it is. As an instance, there was this Gauri Pandit, and nobody could defeat him in argument. So what he does, you know, he has one small kamandalu and a small piece of towel, and he will wash his hands, and then the mantra he repeats, Hari re 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 Lambodara Janani Kamyami Sharanam. One day funny thing happened, you know. So this Pandit was uttering. Then Thakur uttered loudly. Then the Pandit uttered even louder. Then Thakur uttered even louder. Then this, you know, uttering duel was going on. Everybody came running because Thakur had a very, very powerful voice. Very powerful voice. Though his voice was very soft. Sometimes, you know, you cannot believe. Swamiji, when did you come? Baba, when they raise their voice, the roof will leak. they have that. Very powerful voices are there. Very powerful voice. Thakur had very powerful, don't think he was that mild. Very powerful voice. So they were uttering like that. Then Thakur also hid the towel and the kamandalu. The Pandit, you know, that day he could not win any argument. So how did he get that? He worshipped the Divine Mother, and the Divine Mother gave him that boon. You utter this mantra, wash your hands, wipe your hands, and nobody can defeat you in argument. So how could he do that? You know, there is a word called Samaya Spurti. The right idea or right quotation comes at the right time. So there are many people and who know many, many, many things. But when the right time comes, they forget it. But after some time, Dibbi, it will come. I am here, you know, this will be, what is the use after coming out of the exam hall? What is the point of your remembering? So, Samaya Spurti. That Samaya Spurti is a gift from God. Swami Vivekananda had that. Mother Saraswati always dwelt on his tongue. Interestingly, you know, he remembered Mother Saraswati before addressing the Parliament of Religions. So, Saraswati is the embodiment of
knowledge.
So, it is not that we don't have knowledge. You know, many things that I tell you, already you have heard. They are there in your mind. But it doesn't, Samaya Spurti is not there. So when I start telling this story, I know this story. Yeah. That is the beauty of, you know, greatness of one person and this. Maybe both know, have all the information. But somebody's, this memory, computer memory is very small. It takes a long time to access that file and display it. That is all the difference between an old computer and a new computer. Is there anything else? Absolutely nothing. So, dakshaha, because a devotee knows exactly what to do. Daksha means skillfulness. What is skillfulness? What shall I do in this situation? He need not think, because intuitively he knows what to do. Udasinaha, whether something is good, something is bad, is completely indifferent. Who can be indifferent? Only a person who has better things, he can be indifferent. You know, there are people who collect things, lots of things. Suppose somebody wants to collect some, say, flowers, special flowers, this, that. Suppose, imagine that he is a rich person, his whole house is filled with flowers. Again he went to buy. Maybe it is a bidding. So whether he wins or loses, it doesn't matter, because he is not that anxious. If he gets, all right. If he doesn't get, also all right. Because he has already. So who can be Udasina? He has already got a treasure house of God. That is why he is quite capable of being Udasina. We can't be Udasinas because we don't have that. Yeah. Gata Vyathaha, all his grief has disappeared long back. The moment he realized God, his all Vyathas, Vyatha, what is the equivalent of Vyatha in Bengali? Pustakarisho.
Betha.
What is Betha?
Pain.
Yes. It's not, it is
the same thing.
Same thing.
The same word.
Slightly degenerated, you know. Gatav Vyathaha. So there is no pain in him. Sarva Arambha Parityagi. Arambha means starting off anything new. He never starts anything new. Because he doesn't have the feeling, I have to do this. Whatever God makes me do, what we do, I have to do this. But a devotee, true devotee, doesn't have that. Whatever, what is called, jamni bolav, temni boli, jimni korav, temni kori. Whatever you want me to speak, mother, make me speak. Whatever you want me to do, make me do. Complete surrender. So God will give him. It is not that he doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything on his own. A brother Lawrence used to say, you know, I will not lift a straw but for the pleasure of God. It is not that he is incapable of lifting the straw. He will not do it because he has no individual desire. Whatever is the desire of the God, that is the desire of the devotee. That is the meaning of this word, that one who renounces every undertaking should not be misunderstood. He is a lazy fellow, he doesn't do anything. No, that means he can do anything. He can even fight in the war, but he will do it only if God prompts him to do, not on his own. Yoma bhaktaha sachame, such a devotee is very dear to me. Yo na hrishyati na dveshti, na shochati na kaṅkṣati, shubha shubha parityāgi, bhakti mānya sacha me priya, same priyaha. Yo na hrishyati, hrishyati means rejoices. Na dveshti, doesn't hate, already we have. Na shochati, doesn't grieve, na kaṅkṣati. So hrishyati means what? He doesn't rejoice. That means what? He suffers. Is that the meaning? He doesn't rejoice because, you know, suppose you are a fan of Bill Gates. So you take $1 offering to him. Will he be, you know, rejoice? He doesn't even know what to do with his existing wealth. That's why he's giving away. He doesn't rejoice because there is nothing you can add to his joy. That is the idea. Already he is full, over full with his joy. That is why he doesn't, any material thing you give, that you, it cannot add to his joy. Na dveshti, he doesn't hate anybody. Because hatred is only when our joy is less, when we think that somebody is reducing our happiness, then we hate him. Always hatred is directly connected with our happiness. If anybody takes away our happiness, then we hate that fellow. Suppose you put some garbage there. Somebody takes away the garbage. Would you hate that fellow? You bless him. Yeah, your heart is rejoicing. But if something which you think is very dear to you is taken away, then you hate that person. Now the thing is, there are two types of things in this world. One that can be taken away, the other that cannot be taken away. Who can take away God from the heart of the devotee? Nobody can take away. Therefore, and if somebody wants to take away other things, they are welcome to that, because A devotee depends upon God. Everything belongs to God. If God comes and takes away his thing, then will you be unhappy about it? You will be, if a mother, a child comes, and you know, a mother has cooked food, fed her child, and then she sits for her own meals. Then the child comes, sits in her lap and starts taking from the mother's plate also. Will the mother hate the child? She will be happier because her happiness consists in the happiness of the child. So you see, for a devotee, there is no object which can be hated. This is one reason. The other reason is there anybody, in the eyes of a devotee, is there anybody who doesn't belong to God? Everything belongs to God only. That's why he doesn't hate. If there is hatred, that means he is not really filled with true devotion. But he may be on the way. Na shochati, na kamshati. Shochati means grieving. He doesn't grieve. Why doesn't he grieve? Because he doesn't lack anything. Nobody can take away God from him. If God is with us, tell me, what is lacking? Everything is there. The whole universe is God. If God is with us, everything is with us. He doesn't grieve because really he cannot lose anything. Na kaṅkṣati, he doesn't desire anything. See, who desires? One who thinks he must have. And who thinks that unless I get it, there is no way I can get it. Unless I try to get it, nobody is going to give it to me. Na kaṅkṣati. Suppose, you know, I am in need of a pen. Just before Christmas. I know there are 5-6 devotees planning to present to me each one with a pen. Do I desire to buy a pen? So a devotee knows that he has nothing to desire because even before he thinks, this God is providing him. A child, for example, you know, a child doesn't desire anything. He is not worried about, you know, you feed him breakfast. After that, is he worried about lunch? Why he is not worried about lunch? You see, all of you are sitting here. Are you now worried about your today's lunch? You are worried whether I will be able to do justice to the lunch provided. That is possible. Now, what is going on this week, you know, that is possible. But we don't worry because we know, a child knows that mother is taking care of it. A devotee knows mother is going to take care of it. There was one that you remember that incident. Swami Brahmananji was sitting under a tree in North India in winter season. He was doing tapasya at that time. So a merchant who was passing that way saw, he was impressed. So he came down, bowed down, put one blanket and went away. After a few minutes, another man came, bowed down and took away the blanket. And Brahmananji was witnessing, smilingly witnessing the whole thing. Because he who has given, he has taken away. So do you think if God wants him to keep that one, he will bring another merchant? Shubha ashubha parityagi. A devotee rises above what is pure, what is impure. Why? Because purity and impurities are work only in the world of dualities. And they work only with a person who is impure. In the eyes of a pure person, what is impurity? When Thakur had completed his tantric sadhana, he couldn't see anything which is not permeated with the Divine Mother. That is why she brought the rotten human flesh. What could be worse than that? And even that is nothing but manifestation of the Divine Mother. After that he said, I have absolutely no object in this world which I look down as impure. He who neither rejoices, nor hates, nor grieves, nor desires, renouncing good and evil, full of devotion, he is dear to me. Such a devotee, he rises far beyond good and evil. Does that mean that he becomes a stone? Because he practiced good so hard before he attained to this fullness of devotion, that even by mistake, he cannot think of evil. That is the idea. Such a devotee is dear to me. Samakshatrau cha mitre cha tatha manapamanayoh sitoshna sukha dukkheshu samah sanga vivarchitah tulya ninda stutir mauni santushto yena kena chet aniketa sthira mate bhakti man me priyo narah. Such a devotee is very dear to me. Who is that devotee? Sama Shatrau cha Mitre cha. Shatru and Mitra. Shatrau Mitre Putre Bandhav. Sama Chitta Bhava Sama Chitta Tvam. Like that they yesterday Bhajagovindam Sutra we read. So why is it? Because if we consider the whole universe our own, then there is no distinction. Does God think this is my friend, this is my enemy? The whole universe is His
children.
All are His children. Everything is His creation. So God is, that is why Samadarshan, Prema Arpana Samadarshan. Swamiji hymns, Sri Ramakrishna. Every day we sing. So also, mana apamana yoga, also in honor and dishonor. He rises above that. So also, sita ushna, whether it is cold, whether it is hot, doesn't matter. Sukha dukkheshu, in happiness and in unhappiness. Samaha, sangha vivarjitaha. Sangha vivarjitaha means he is free from the influences of these dualities. Sangha is important. We are bound because we value sangha, but selective sangha. You know, if it's very even temperature, what do we desire in winter season? In hot season, what do we desire? So, you know, winter, terribly cold, there is fire going on. Whose sangha we seek?
Fire.
It's very hot. And then you are thirsty. Whose sangha you seek?
Refrigerator.
Not refrigerator, cool drinks. You know, milkshake. First class milkshake. You know, delusion, how it comes. Once saw a cartoon, American cartoon, beautiful. One fellow was wrecked in the desert. And he was in this, reduced to the state of crawling. His tongue was hanging like that. So then delusions started. He saw a cool drink shop. Cool drink shop. And then he was about to enter in the door. There were two showcases, and in both there were cold drinks. Some bottles here, some bottles here. And this was 20C. And the other, that is 20C, they crossed it 15C. And he was crawling towards them. Even in that condition also, he wants it reduced rates. This is our state, this is our condition. So, Sangha That is what either makes us bound. Those sangha makes us bound. Satsanga slowly helps us go beyond these things. But a devotee, he rises beyond these. Again, what is the meaning? He has all the constant sangha of
God.
So what else he wants? That is why he doesn't mind these things. Now what we have to understand, again and again, these verses are occurring. That even for a devotee, there will winter will be there, summer will be there. Some people, they respect him, some people they don't respect him. And sometimes he is so-called happy circumstances, sometimes unhappy. These cannot be avoided. It is not that he becomes a stone. So, Sri Ramakrishna, has he enemies or has he no enemies? Jesus Christ, had he enemies or did he not enemies? Swami Vivekananda, had he enemies or did he not enemies? So, what does it mean? What I am trying to say is, from the viewpoint of Sri Ramakrishna, there are no enemies. From the other side, but they are not Sri Ramakrishna's, they are not Vivekananda's, they are not Christ's. So they don't look at him as Christ or incarnation of God. Didn't Sri Krishna has enemies? How many times attempts were made to do away with him? So we should not think that he has no enemies means from his side, there is no enemy. But there are people who consider him as a great enemy. So every devotee had to undergo a lot of suffering. But whether somebody comes and behaves friendly way, somebody else comes and behaves in a inimical way, he is not hesitated. His mind is totally fixed with God. What a blessed situation that is. Such a devotee is dear to me, he says. Tulya Ninda Stuti Mauni. Tulya Ninda Stuti. Somebody does Ninda, doesn't make any difference. Somebody does Stuti, then he is also not worried about. Like Ramana Maharshi's story I told you, know. One day some robbers came into his cottage. Remember? Then, you know, they ordered at the point of lathi, get out, otherwise we'll beat you up. All of them went out. They were standing in front of the hut. The robbers took whatever they could. While going, one of them gave a blow to Ramana Maharshi. He need not have done that because Ramana Maharshi was simply standing there. Yeah, that's all. Then the devotees came and sat down. They took away some utensils and other things. They were, of course, valuable for those people at that time. Ramana Maharshi, no change in his face. The devotees were not very unhappy because the utensils have been stolen that they could have put up, but that these robbers, one of them should give a blow to their revered Guruji or holy person, that was terrible. They wanted to complain to the police. Simply he said, when you bring fruits and sweets, I accept them. This man had brought this gift to me. So, should I reject it? Just as I don't reject your gifts, I don't reject his gift also. His idea is, Yadyat Bhavyam Bhavatu Bhagavan Purva Karma Anurupa. He was a believer in Purva Janma Karma. So, if this is my fate, somebody should give me a blow, so I will have to put up with it. I accept both. If I reject, I reject both. If I accept both. Very peculiar man, you know. He will not eat anything unless it is distributed to everybody. So he was suffering from rheumatic pains also. Always, you know, like this, his legs had to be put like that. He cannot sit like that. Always. That's why always on the bed also he would put. Not because he was yogi. He was suffering from rheumatic pains. So, once you know the devotees were trying to help his disease. So one day one doctor came, brought so many medicines, these are excellent new medicines. But Ramana Maharshi said everybody should take them. He won't eat alone. That was his habit. Everybody had to be taken. Like Tenali Ramakrishna story, you know. He went to Krishna Devaraya because he wanted to exhibit, show his scholarship, and he was a great poet also, extremely good poet, but very humorous person. So the doorkeepers won't allow him to go inside. He said, look, I am a great scholar and the emperor will give me gifts. Then they said, you must give us 50-50. Then only we will allow you to go. He said, yes, both of whatever I get, I'll give it 50-50. So he went inside. Emperor was highly pleased. What can I give you? He wanted to give something. He said, no, no, give me 100 blows. I want 100 blows from you. The emperor was astonished. He said, blows? Yes. I will not take anything else. This is the only gift you can give me. Then he said, all right, have it. If that is what you want, he ordered his servants to come and they were about, no, no, no. I promised your gatekeepers that I will give them 50-50. Many stories are wonderful, like Gopal Bhatt.
Ah.
It was like that. One day the emperor got so angry with him because he makes fun of the emperor also. Nobody is exempt from him. One day he went a little bit, you know, beyond. made fun of him nicely. And immediately, I don't want to see your face. So he went out. Next day again he came with a pot on his face with two.
What imagination, Baba!
He didn't want, he said, you didn't want to see my face, but perfectly, you see the pot. So, a true devotee, whether somebody is praising, somebody is blaming him, he doesn't care. Mauni, manana svabhava maunam. Maunam means usually we say silence. But usually the silence that we observe is not true silence. There are two meanings of silence. That constantly to think of God to the exclusion of every other thought is called mauna. The other is that the mind is absolutely still. You know, we are all maunis when we are in deep sleep. The mind doesn't function at all. That is a true mauna. Or the next best substitute for that is fill the mind with the thoughts of God. But even there is also another expression. Mauna doesn't mean not speaking. Mauna means if you have to speak, speak about God. That is also mauna. Because what is the purpose of mauna? To still the mind. So if we have to speak, speak only good. You see, you speak good of the other persons. It does good to that person, it does also good to us. So that is, it is very true. This is the power of the positive thinking. Think positively. Then, you know, whether other person gets benefit or not, we don't know. But our mind would not get depressed. It often gets depressed because we think negative thoughts. Is it not right? So, whatever we say, oh, as nothing is happening in my life, that is true. Whether you think positive thoughts or negative thoughts, that is true. Oh, it is so cold. Yes, it is cold. But it becomes colder if you think negative thoughts. Why not say, okay, it is, that is the nature of the weather is today, you know. Yesterday it was so nice. Today again it rained night and all that. Fine. Accept it. You can't change it. What you can't change it, then you accept it. What you can change, change it. What you can't change, then accept it. That is far better. Then what happens when we accept it? Then we can move forward and say, what can I do? Traffic jam is one example. You are already in the jam. What can you do? Can't go forward, can't go backward. But does it mean to say you should be depressed? Try to do something else. Listen to some music, think of something good. Or in future, you will be able even to be able to sleep in the future. You know that? They are designing cars in such these kind of circumstances that you are behind a car. So you put it on this special automatic. When that car moves, your car moves at the same speed. So if you are expecting 1 or 2 hours of delay, you can go to sleep. The car will, you know, slowly it will move forward. You don't need to keep Google eyed. Have you heard the expression Google eyed? What do you think you are doing sitting in the internet? Google eyed. You don't need to sit. You can just go to sleep or read a book or do whatever. Automatically, it will sense the movement of the car and at the same speed, in the same direction, it will move. So it's very useful whenever there is a jam. And if you want to go out for a walk also, extremely useful, you know. You just get out, start walking. When your car comes, you get in. Anyway, it is moving very slowly. Yeah. So, Mauni, santushtaha ena kena chit. Whatever comes, the person becomes content. If some nice sweet comes, he is content. Otherwise also, he is very content. He is content because that he is only maintaining his body mind with the bare necessities. But inside, he is extremely happy. Bare necessities.
Yeah.
You know, bare necessities. You know, it's in Jungle Book. You know, that bare necessity. Bare necessity.
Yes.
Those are scratching its back. It, very
against the tree.
That scene is wonderful. See.
Wonderful.
Bare, that song, you know.
Bare
necessities. Oh, wonderful.
He does like this and the banana falls on his
hand. The whole tree, you know, is broken.
That's true.
Bare necessities. A devotee is supremely content. That's why Holy Mother said, you know, when she was with Sri Ramakrishna, then there were not many physical comforts. But she said, as though somebody has kept an Amrita Bhanda, Ananda Bhanda in her heart. So that is, every devotee keeps an Amrita Bhanda in his heart. What is that Amrita Bhanda? God. God is Ananda. Sachidananda. Amrita Bhanda. Aniketaha. Aniketaha means a person who doesn't own a place. Niketa is not there. Sri Niketa. Sharada Cottage.
Chinnaswami residence.
Access with permission. Sharada Cottage. Ma Sharada comes. Can I be permitted to come inside? Aniketaha means, real meaning of Aniketa is Niketa means a dwelling place. Aniketa means there is no dwelling place. There is an external meaning, there is an inner meaning. Because every place, you see, where does a devotee live? In God. So where is there no God? So whichever place he is there, he is only dwelling in God. The other meaning is, he is always, in his heart is always, God is dwelling. He becomes, he himself becomes the dwelling place of God. So wherever he is going, God is there in him. What is the purpose of a dwelling place? So we also dwell in some place, isn't it? Where do we dwell? Wherever our thoughts are, that is our dwelling place. That's why I give the example. You are sleeping here and you are roaming in the streets of Delhi. So where is your Niketana?
Delhi.
Loka. A person's mind is thinking of Krishna. His body, his or her body is here. Where is she dwelling? Vrindavan, Goloka, or Vaikuntha, or Kailasa, whatever you say. So, what is the purpose of a dwelling place? To be happy. So, this person is dwelling in Goloka. How much joy the person must be getting? That is the idea that God provides him. He looks to his necessities. But even if he has to live under a tree, and so many people live under trees, even that person is very happy, so as though he is living in a 7-storied palatial building. There is a tribe somewhere, I think in South America. A peculiar thing happens. Lots of terrific mosquitoes bite. So their houses, huts, are built at least, 100 feet. So there will be on trees, there are huge tall trees, and the houses are built on that. Then they build a bamboo ladder like that.
Oh. Why the mosquitoes cannot fly that higher?
Strangely, at that height they won't go.
Oh.
Absolutely mosquito free. And free air, there, very good oxygen and air is there. That is.
Maharaj, like suppose there is like 20-story building. So mosquitoes will not be there on the higher floors kind of thing?
They can be. But in that particular place, whatever be the reason, mosquitoes only trouble people living at a lower level.
Mm-hmm.
Not at that level.
Height.
Yeah, otherwise what was the point? If the mosquitoes are going there also, why should they take so much trouble?
No, my point is, Maharaj, like interpreted it like as you go at higher and higher altitude kind of thing. I mean the height wise from the ground. Maybe the mosquitoes density will be less.
No, there will be absolutely no mosquitoes.
In that particular place. Yeah, only in that.
There could be many reasons which we don't know. One reason could be there may be some kind of chemical in the trees or something like that which repel the mosquitoes. Whatever, the tribes don't know what is the reason, but they know at this height mosquitoes want to trouble us. Good enough for them. They can be. So there are documentaries, wonderful, that is the advantage of the TV. They go there to these different tribes, they want to see what lifestyle they have, how they live and what they eat. So one man is trying to follow them, he is a regular feature in BBC. He follows, he tries to hunt like them, he tries to make fire like them. And wonderful things are there, we have to learn. So they also suffer from headache. I mean this, anybody, diseases. So the severe headache, there is a tree, they somehow found out the bark, when they make paste of it, and put, headache disappears.
Wow.
You know what is called folk medicine? Lot of folk medicine. You know, there's so much wisdom is there. There is a wild life documentary they were showing. There are forests. In the forest, lot of animals live. And these animals, there are particular type of trees. And some of the trees give peculiar type of fruits. These fruits are extremely, what is called, tasty. So tasty, no animal can resist them. Every elephant which is born, at that, they know exactly when the fruits are ripe. So they go to that place, eat these fruits to their heart's content. But very few animals can survive those fruits. They are highly poisonous.
Oh.
They will simply writhe and die. But they found, these animals found out that they eat those fruits and they go to a nearby place. It's a hilly place. And deep down, 10 feet, 20 feet, there is some type of mud. And that mud has some type of mineral. So if they eat that mineral, that is the exact antidote for that poison.
Oh,
wow.
Oh my God,
this is all animals.
Animals. So whether it is elephants, monkeys, simply after eating, gorging themselves with these, immediately they jump, they were showing there. Immediately they go there, you know, walls, they scratch like that. Go on eating like that happily, go up and eat some more fruits and come down and eat. Yeah. Like that, you know, you eat nice, you know, biryani and other things and go to the room, have some Hajmola 3-4 tablets. You know, the wisdom. We think that we are surviving. They also survive.
Yeah.
So they also peculiar, you know, they believe in witchcraft and this and that. So they have their own happiness, they have their own grief. Here also we have our own happiness, our own grief. Same Maya, Mahamaya is same everywhere. No difference. But that the animals could find out.
Ah.
And there is some kind of fruit which is highly intoxicating.
Okay.
You must see that film, these monkey, you know. It is eating, going, and goes and rests after some time, like that, again it goes, again it eats the food. Brahmananda. Annamaite nemirame. సున్నమైతేనే మిరా ఈ పాడు పొట్టుకు అన్నమే వేతాము నీరులైతేనేమిరా మరి సారలైతేనేమిరా చుక్కనైనా కలపకుండా సారలే వేతాము. వాట్ బ్యూటీ, యు నో, హ్యూ మహామాయ, దే ఆల్సో ఫీల్ ది ఇంటాక్సికేషన్. So, aniketaha means one who dwells constantly in God. Sthiramatihi, his mind is absolutely fixed in God. Not only God, his mind also fixed in all these good qualities. Bhaktiman me priyo naraha, such a devotee is most dear to me. Then he is concluding. ये तु धर्म्यामृतमिदं यथोक्तं पर्युपासते श्रद्धधानामत्परमा भक्तास्ते अतीव मे प्रियाः. अतीव मे प्रियाः, दे आर एक्सट्रीमली डियर टू मी. वाई आर दे डियर टू हिम? बिकॉज देर इज नो ऑब्स्ट्रक्शन. There is no obstruction which can keep them separate from him or him from them. The moment these good qualities are developed in a mind, what happens is that mind will never again be separated from God. That is the only reason. So, it says, etu, those aspiring devotees who dharmya amritam, This is the nectar. Nectar. Who drink this nectar? What is the, what type of nectar? Dharmyam. Dharmyam means what? See, we use a word dharma. Dharma means what?
Righteousness.
That is what we think.
Immortal.
Actually, dharma means nature. One meaning of the word of the dharma is manushya dharma. It is the nature of man. Pashu dharma, cat dharma. What is cat dharma?
Kingdom.
Yeah. That's what Holy Mother said. Baba, cat is not a thief. When it sees milk, it will go and... So Ramana Maharshi, you know, he was very friendly with monkeys. Full of monkeys. And monkeys also know him. He knows them by name. So devotees bring lot of bananas and other things. So they want to offer. One day, a poor mother, one devotee, him, lot of bananas, was entering into the hall where Maharshi was sitting. And he was about to give. Suddenly, huge monkey came and snatched some bananas from him and jumped out of the window, happily eating away. This man got so angry. You know, he wanted to offer it to Maharshi. And how can he offer now? He was very angry. He was about to go after it. He can't do anything. And Maharshi laughed and said, "Why are you so angry? So you see, when you give the, all these fruits to me, what do I do?
Give it to them.
I give it back to you. So that also wants a share. Will you give? Won't give. So it's merely claimed its share before any of you. That's all it did. It didn't do anything. It only claimed its share. Now what happened? There was another mother monkey sitting with a newborn baby. It also wanted to eat, but it was afraid of these people. So it was sitting in the windowsill watching. Maharshi understood. Immediately it said, "Mother, come here, bring your baby."
Yeah.
And immediately the monkey jumped, went near Maharshi, and he took the baby in his hands. Oh, very beautiful, very beautiful. Two things are absolutely ugly. You know that. The just born human baby. The just born.
Monkey.
Have you seen small monkey? Like an old man. Have you not seen?
But human baby.
So ugly, wrinkled, old, no difference. It is only after a few days when it starts drinking that all that mother's milk and cream and all that cheeks will, you know, swell, swell, and then it looks a little bit approachable. Until that time, but nobody dares to say to any mother, "Your baby is the ugliest creature in on earth." You know this, what was his name? James Herriot. All creatures, wise and wonderful, small and beautiful and all that. He has written a series of books. So he is telling, you know, he was serving in the military. His wife gave birth just now. So he went and saw it. He said, "No animal is as ugly as this baby." But he dare not say that in front of his wife. Anyway, it is very true. After a few days, the baby really becomes beautiful. That's a different issue. Anyway, for Maharshi, you know, he understands their language. They understand his words. In his eyes, everybody is God, Brahma. He took the baby, caressed it, and blessed and said, "You know, when you have devotees, when you have babies, don't you bring your babies to me for my blessing?" So the mother also has brought. So he gave lovingly some bananas. Very happily it went back.
I'm surprised what I said. The mother monkey let him take the baby. Usually they are so very protective.
This was what we are talking about. It understands instinctively that here is a person who is more of a mother even than me. in his life, see, these things are most day-to-day occurring, common occurrences. You know, these squirrels used to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
No, no scary. He was not scared. He was, you know, his attitude is different. And they also, there was one squirrel which was very fond of cashew nuts.
He used to feed.
You know, devotees bring, whenever cashew nut is there, he will feed, but equally. He said, this fellow wants more of the share. He says, no, you got your share, keep quiet. I am not going to give any more. So once, you know, cashew nut was finished, but some peanuts were there. He wanted to offer. It won't take. Won't take.
Wow.
He is looking only at the empty cashew nut bottle.
Wow.
He said, look, there is no cashew nut. I can only give you this. Won't eat.
Wow.
He didn't touch. Then in the end it got so angry, it bit his toe. And went. Where does it go? It will go to the corner of the world, like this. Look.
Oh,
peacock.
Turkey.
Beautiful, big. It went that side.
I never it's gone.
It's going around the house actually.
Very nice.
Oh.
You missed it. Anyway, it's all right. So it went and sat. He also said, I also got angry. You beat me?
Mm.
So it's for no fault of mine?
Mm.
Not going to give any food. Get out.
Oh.
So for a few hours he didn't give anything. Then, you know, it came back and started licking his toe.
Oh.
He said, what can I do? This fellow is begging for my pardon. So by that time somebody had brought cashew nuts, so he gave the cashew nuts. And even the mother squirrels used to leave the babies. And they used to sleep on his bed. He said, you know, I gave moksha to some babies. You know, that was, his life is most wonderful life. So it happened to Swami Vivekananda, he had a dog called Bagha. So one day, it did some mischief. Swamiji said, get out. I don't want to see your face. And he didn't allow it to come. So next morning he got up at 4 o'clock or so, opened his door. Immediately the Bhaga went, started licking his legs, Swamiji's legs. And he said, all right, you are forgiven. Later on, after Swamiji's passing, it lived many years. And then it died. So somebody told Mahapurush Maharaj, he died. It said, throw it in the Ganga. So they threw in the Ganga in the evening or so, previous day. Next morning somebody came running and said, Bhaga again is Ghate Legechi. It was just landed on the ghat, dead body. And Mahapurush Maharaj said, you see, it is Swamiji's Bhaga. It doesn't want to be buried anywhere. It wants to be buried here only.
Oh,
you know, even though it went with the flow,
it came back
exactly to the same place, dead body.
Oh.
Then ceremonially it was buried. That spot is still there in Belur Math.
Oh.
Yeah,
but we cannot see it.
There is no memorial or anything, but they show that's some spot.
Oh.
In front of Swamiji's building, somewhere there, they dug and then ceremonially buried. So he said, Mahapurush Maharaj said clearly, it is Swamiji's Bhaga. It's not an ordinary creature. It's a Mahapurusha that came in the form of this Bhaga to be associated with a great Rishi. That's why somehow it came back.
Well, there are some letters from Swamiji also to Rakhal Maharaj and other that look after this goat. Of mine, he had a goat.
Yeah.
In the letter also he mentioned that please look after the
Swamiji, towards the end of his life, he used to mix more with these animals rather than human beings. You know, the mood changed. He was in the mood of a withdrawal mode. He knew his end was coming. So he had a hangshi.
Mm-hmm.
And then this hangshi caught cold in the rainy season.
Wow.
He said, what ghora kalikala, when ducks start catching cold.
I didn't know ducks can catch cold.
They can catch, animals can suffer from paranoia, from jealousy, and from greed, from all those human qualities, and they also die from human diseases, cancer, this, that. It's animal stories they show, you know, on Royal Bengal tiger, it got cancer.
Oh.
So they operated once and removed that malignant tumor, but after 6 months or so, again it came back, and this time they said it is going to die. So they gave an injection and killed it. Put it out of the misery. That's what they do horses, if they break their bones or something like that. They take a gun and then pets, they give an injection and then do this. So, those who drink this dharmyamruta, yatha uktam, as it has been described before, pariyupasate means those who drink, means those who try to develop these qualities, and when these qualities become prominent, then they will know nothing excepting me. They ever live atavortham nivasishyasi mayeva atavortham nasamshayaha. If you have these qualities, then you will forever live in me. Did we not read earlier? Mayeva manathasva mayi buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mayeva atavortham nasamshayaha. See, it is, what is the obstruction even now? It's only our mind. So what is the mind? Thoughts. What are these thoughts? If we have feeling of hatred, that means why do we have hatred? Because we have expectations, desires. If we don't have desires, where is the question of hatred, jealousy and all those things? So, they who follow this immortal dharma, as described above, endued with Shraddha regarding me as the supreme goal and devoted, they are exceedingly dear to me. Meaning saying that, oh aspirant, you cultivate these qualities. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsacharamardhanam Devati Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum. Did you get good sleep?